Sometimes we just pick one verse without understanding the full context of it, and we miss out. Half-truth is as good as not no truth at all. So it's important, because when you understand the context, the application becomes easy for you to do. So we said we needed to go back and look at the scriptures before that to be able to understand, why did God say, not by power and not by might, but by my what? Spirit. They said, we quote it all the time, but we never bother to find out, why did God say that? Because in finding out why, you will see what is really addressing and how it applies to your life. So we went to read from Zechariah verse 3, from chapter 3, from verse 8. Just want to remind us what we did yesterday. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest. I'm reading Zechariah 3, verse 8. Well, unfortunately, we don't have it up there. So you got to read from your Bible, or your cell phone, or whatever you have. So I'm sure you can get it, and then we can read it. All right. So Zechariah 3, 8, it says, here now, I'm reading King James Version. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And they put the branch in capital letters. My servant, the branch. So he calls the servant what? The branch. For behold, the stone. See the words he's using now. You got to understand that these words are, they mean something. It says, and behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Which means I've laid a foundation with a stone. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. If you read further, the scripture says, these are the seven eyes of the Lord. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, said the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in what? One day. I say, if you get to this point, you will understand that it's talking about our salvation. God is saying, I'm going to do this thing now. I'm going to raise a stone, I'm going to raise a branch, my servant, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Just one day, I get it done. And then you come over now to chapter 4, then you begin to understand some more. It says, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, so I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? You see, because of the vision that he was showing Zechariah. He didn't understand it. So the angel went on. You know, if you ask God questions sometimes, God will tell you what you need to know. It's not always what you want to know. And if you deal with God, if you ask him questions sometimes, he will tell you what you need what to know. It's not always what you want to know. He will answer you with what you need to know. Because there's no scripture that says that God will supply all our wants. He said God will supply all our what? Needs. So he will tell you what you need to know. He said to this centurion, he said, send to Joppa, who will tell you what you need to know. There's something you need to know. God doesn't waste words. He's not going to get in conversation just wasting his time. He will tell you what is real, what is true, what you need to know. Sometimes you won't like it, but that's what you need to know, and that's what will save your life. And I was telling my wife, I said, God will give you a wife, a husband, not the one you want, but the what you need. Because in future, you will realize the wisdom of God in giving you that person. Because God sees the end from the beginning. He knows that this one you are craving for now is out of mere emotion. Sometimes he knows that the devil trying to destroy your future. Because once you tie your destiny with somebody, that bus is going one direction. Unless you get out, it's going one direction. And mostly, if the direction of the destiny of the man, mostly, sometimes direction of the woman, but once you enter that bus, it's headed one direction. But God knows the bus that is going to your destination. So he joins you to enter that bus. Because two of you are headed in one direction. Yeah, at the beginning, you may not know. You will feel upset, feel angry. It's all part of what we are teaching. When you don't learn to follow God by faith, you follow your feelings and wreck your life. So the man says to the angel, so I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" So instead of giving him this stone means this means this, he told him what he needed to know. So he said to him, then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not this, what this be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord on this river, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that has become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, cornerstone, the headstone, Christ the cornerstone, bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." You see, he said to the angel, "I don't understand this about branch and stone. What is it?" The angel said, "You don't know it?" He said, "Not by might, not by power." What you need to know is that the hand of the Lord will do destinies, and is bringing a chief cornerstone, and in that day, it will be a day of grace upon grace and upon grace. And he said, "This mountain, who art thou, this mountain, and then if you want to know that in Luke chapter 3 verse 4, you will see where the scripture referred to it again, this mountain. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be what? Brought low. Did you see where he's saying, "Who art thou?" Zerubbabel said, "This mountain." He's talking about the mountain. Now you see, it's referring to the coming of Christ. Amen? I said, amen. If you go to Isaiah chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. Chapter 11 from verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch," a what? "A branch shall grow out of his roots." So who is this branch? "And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." So the branch is now called him. Is the rod? Is a branch? It's now called him. Praise the Lord. He says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest what? Upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Then Acts chapter 4:11. Just want us to see the background of this not by power and not by might. Acts chapter 4 verse 11. This is the stone. You see, he says, "I'm going to bring a stone, and I'll lay it as foundation." So he now tells us about the stone. "This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head," what? "Of the corner." So he said, "I'm going to bring a cornerstone, a chief stone. And Christ is that cornerstone." And then he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other now, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, if you understand this last statement, you don't need to be here. If you understand this verse 12 very well, you've had the sermon for today. You've had the sermon we're talking about. If you really understand verse 12 very well, you live in power every minute of your life. If you do understand this verse 12 very well, you live in the power of God 24/7. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other," which means you can't look for salvation anywhere. It has to be the stone that the arm of the Lord has put in place. It has to be the chief cornerstone that the Spirit of the Lord established. It has to be what the arm of the Lord has done. He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we shall be what? Saved." Then the problem we have is that when we hear the word saved, we think it's just joining a church. The word saved is encompassing everything. delivered from all that hate you, from the hands of all that hate you, from everything that destroys, complete freedom. If the Son shall set you free, you are, that's what saved means. That's what salvation means. It's not just joining a church. It means you are saved, totally saved, totally saved to the uttermost. Completely delivered, totally. There's no deliverance remaining. Completely done. That's what salvation means. Again, if you understand it, our life will totally be different. You will never be under bondage anymore. You won't be. What are you delivering me from? I have been delivered to the uttermost. I don't need, what are you talking about? Delivered from what? So is it the one Jesus left? He couldn't do. That you want to finish? No. No. It's the arm of the Lord. Can I hear amen? He's the one that put that in place. Can I hear a big amen? That's the chief cornerstone. What you are bringing is sand. I don't want. So the subject of this revelation to Zechariah is the Lord Jesus Christ and the hand of the Lord that will bring salvation to mankind. And then Ephesians 2:8 tells us exactly again the same thing. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Grace through faith. And he said, and that not of yourself. Why? It's the arm of the Lord. Neither by power or by might, but by my spirit. So he says, not of any of us. I'm telling you, brethren, majority of Christians do not understand the gospel, neither they don't understand salvation. Because they think it's what men do. They think it's the arm of the flesh. You see, when God says, you need to hear this, it's because he knows we human beings. That we're going to begin to think it's what we what? Do. And then we begin to crop up a lot of rituals and things that we do. And if you say to somebody, are you saved? They say, yeah, how do you know? You say, ah, if you know, ah, the things I used to do, I know they do them again. So he begins to tell you what he did, what he does. He doesn't tell you the arm of the Lord saved me. Can I hear amen? He doesn't tell you, I'm saved because Jesus died for me. He's the arm of the Lord. He's the stone. He's the chief corner stone. My faith is on him. And I'm saved because of what he did for me. Ask the average Christian, are you saved? And find out what they will tell you. See if I'm telling a lie. Try it yourself. Even pastors. Many pastors don't know this. I was talking to a man, you Uber driver. And I said to him, I said, are you saved really? He said, no. I said, you need to give your life to Jesus now. I said, right now. He said, no, I'm not qualified. I said, what do you mean? He said, because I'm a sinner. I said, yeah, you're qualified now. I said, do you think I'm better than you? No, my salvation is because of what he did. So if you want, salvation is available for you. He said, right now? I said, yeah. He said, that's not what the pastors tell me. So they tell me I have to change first before I can come to Christ. This is what many people preach. Am I telling a lie here? This is the thing that many people are preaching. Because they use the word repent. They say, repent of your sins first. You have to repent first. Didn't you see? Repent and believe the gospel. So I change. Well, if I can change, why did Jesus come? The repentance there is because Israel had rejected Christ. He came to his own, and his own what? So the repentance is to change from rejection of the solution and stop putting your faith in the works of the hand, the works of the law, and come and accept the Savior, Christ Jesus himself. For there is no salvation in any other. That rejection of Christ is sinful. It's sin. The Bible said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of one sin. What's that sin? Huh? They reject Christ. It's one sin. So they tell them, see, repent. If he can repent for God's sake, back did Jesus come? The Bible says, if righteousness is by the law, then Christ died what? In vain. He wasted on the cross. He shouldn't have died, since we can produce righteousness without him. I'm telling people what people preach to from the pulpit. Put people in terrible bondage. They can't change. A leopard cannot change his skin. What you're asking him to do is impossible. So by grace, everybody say by grace. I want to hear it louder. By grace. Come on, shout it louder, church. By grace. God says, not by power, not by might. My arm will do this. Not because of you, but because I love you. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. And he said that day they will say, grace, grace, grace. He said that it's through faith you receive it now. And they told us that not of yourselves. It's nothing from you. It's not by power. It's not by your power or might or struggle or prayer or whatever you do. It's by what God has done, by his power, by his spirit, alone. Alone, church, alone. That's why the man said, I don't understand this. Since I'm saying, the angel said, I want to tell you what you need to know. What you need to know is all these things are going to be done by the hand of God. Then he continued, it is the gift of God, not of works. Let any man show what? Boast. We hear these things, you think we understand it? And this is where we don't, this is why we can't assess the blessings. Okay, let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. So, the same arm of the Lord that saved you, church, I want you to hear me now. So, these struggles will come to an end. Look, unless you understand this and cling to the power of God, you'll be defeated all the time. You'll be defeated all the time. You will try, you look, you know you are doing this is sinful. You want to stop, you can't, you will not be able. You will not be able. You, the only thing you do is that you now start hiding it. I'm telling the truth now. You start hiding it. People who know you close quarters, they're the only ones who know it. Sometimes there are certain things nobody. But you're under bondage there. You are seriously under bondage. You are struggling with it, going nowhere. You come to church and look fine. But there's a stain there. Because you don't know the truth yet. You don't know the truth yet. Christian 5 years, 7 years, you are struggling with it. It's getting worse. There's no freedom. Yeah. Because the freedom that was provided you, you don't even know it's there. You're not looking that direction. You want to produce it yourself. It doesn't work. And those are the things that when it snaps in public, it brings bad, very bad representation to the gospel. People think it doesn't work. And then they say, if that is Christianity, me, I know one. Turn off a lot of people. Turn off a lot of people from coming to Christ because they don't see the relevance because you haven't been a witness that proves that destiny is what? True. 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 He told me, he said, I joined this church because I know you from childhood so that we grew up together. I know you said, I've been watching you. He said, I didn't even know. He said, I've been watching you. He said, I realized that this is true. He's here and am I telling a lie? He said, I've been watching you. I was watching you. He wasn't watching any other thing. You. If it works, I want to see it here. And after a time, he said, this thing is real. I didn't even know. So I wasn't even trying to impress. See, that's why many of our children run away from church. Because they watch us what they see is contradiction. So they think church is irrelevant. See how huge this topic is? So this same power that saved us is the same power that keeps us to the end. You can't. I was asking yesterday, I said, can you improve on what God has done? Do you have a better power than the power of God to keep you? Do you have something better to depend on in this life? Do you have anything better than that? So in 1 Peter 1:5, Amplified. I want to read Amplified. I don't even have time there. So I will set my own time, which is good. So if I release you in 3 hours, it's not my fault. Oh, they put the time now. They took it away. Okay, fine. So 1 Peter 1:5. Who are being guarded? I'm reading Amplified. Being guarded. We are being guarded. We are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit the final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time, until you die. Until you die. Is this same power, the Spirit of God, the arm of the Lord, that saved you, that garrisons you, that guides you, that empowers you, teaches you, leads you, until you leave this earth? This same power. That's not another. So, it becomes very important for us to understand why God is saying, hey, your life, your success, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by what? By my Spirit. And see what my Spirit is putting in place for you. So you say, grace, grace. I'm going to raise a stone. I'm going to raise the branch. I'm going to make a chief cornerstone. And the Bible says, whoever believes in him shall not be put what? To shame. Say, this is what I'm putting in place for you. Putting it in place for you. My arm. So you don't bother to bring your arm. You don't need your arm. You know, because sometimes once we can't figure out a solution to something, once we can't really figure it out, we're thrown. Confusion in the head comes. We become destabilized. We start looking for profit. You don't know God. If you know what the arm of the Lord has put in place, you'll be stable. Very, very stable. You don't have, because he didn't tell you to figure it out. There's no place to say figure it out. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. Rely on it. Don't move on it. Rely on this thing. Don't move on it. Because if you trust in it, you will never be put to shame. You don't have to figure out nothing. You don't have to figure out nothing. Happy to see our pastor. Pastor, you're welcome. All the way from Lawrenceville. And then our beloved brother David is here. You're welcome. Let's welcome them. Yeah, Pastor, joke. 1B now. Akini Shele. Hey, Jema, be new. Wow. Pastor, you're wow. We want to see you now. We haven't seen you for a long time. Please come up. Come up. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So once we can't figure out something, it throws us off. Why do we want to figure it out? Because we want to rely upon our. But the Bible says the arm of the flesh will always what? Fail. Because what you are dealing with is spiritual in origin. Spiritual in origin. So our faith must always be on the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone that God put in place, the stone of foundation he laid. Our faith must always be on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the power of God. If we place it on any other thing, it's quicksand. It's quicksand. It's quicksand. And then we do without the blessings of God. When we rely on what Christ has done for us, what the Spirit of God has put in place, then we enjoy all the blessings of God. Can I hear amen? Now, I want to show you that when God talks of his power, really, the basic thing he's talking about is Christ and the gospel. Which the Holy Spirit comes to manifest. Came to man. The Holy Spirit is not going to do anything to contradict the gospel. Because he's the one that put it in. I want to tell you something. Please hear me. What you are receiving from God is his promises. Guaranteed by Jesus. Mediated by Christ. Let me repeat it again. What you are receiving from God is what? I didn't hear you. It's what? His promises. That's it. Guaranteed by Christ, mediated by him. That's what you are receiving from. That's what the Holy Spirit came to manifest for you. To glorify Jesus Christ as the guarantor and mediator of this better covenant that we have. In Romans 1:16, it says, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Everybody say, the gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the good news about how God has fulfilled his promises to mankind through Jesus Christ. It's easy to understand it. The gospel is what? The good news about how God has fulfilled what? You're not talking to me. Has fulfilled what? We must get this one. The gospel is the good news about how God has fulfilled what? His promises to mankind. Let me repeat this. I want you to say it with me. The gospel is the good news. Let's take it from again. The gospel is the good news about how God has fulfilled his promises to you in Christ Jesus. Let me start it again. The gospel, come on, is, go ahead, about how God has what? Fulfilled what? His promises for who? In who? That is through Christ Jesus. Let's take it again. This side, I want to hear you. Aya, go ahead. Okay, this side, teach them. I didn't hear many of them. Let's show them. Come on, let's go. So who won? Let's say it together, everybody. Want to go? Choir, come on, teach them. Let me hear you go. Come on. Yeah, that's what it is. The gospel is the good news about how God has fulfilled what? His promises for you in crisis. All you need, brethren, please listen to me. All you need for life and godliness has been provided. The promise of God deals with everything that the human being will need on earth here. There is no aspect of your life that God didn't cover through his promises. None. The Bible says that it is through these promises that we become partakers of the divine what? Nature. That is, we through these promises, we assess what the power of God, the divine nature, the power of God is given. Become the nature of God that is offered to us, like eternal life and all these things. Everything you need. Everything you need. The good news is, it's been provided in Christ. Everything, nothing remaining. So what the hand of the Lord has put in place for you is what you need. Even to solve any problem you have right now. As I'm talking to you, it's already provided for you. That's the good news. All I need for life and what? To live a godly life has provided. If God fulfilled all his promises for us, there is not one remaining. The only one remaining is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything has been provided. Everything. Everything. Tell me one, I'll tell you. Is it healing? It's been provided. Is it wisdom? Christ has been made unto us wisdom. Righteousness is provided. Is it power? Yeah. I can do all things what? Christ. So strength is. The power is provided. The ability is provided. Is it authority to overcome challenges of life? He's giving us authority that in his name we can dismantle the devil, dismantle his work, knock out the devil. Tell me what is remaining. Blessings of God. You are no more under a curse. You've been blessed with the blessings of Abraham. Mention one that has not been covered. So what I was saying is, so we need to know when God says, hey, my hand, my spirit has put in place this chief cornerstone. You must know what his arm has what? And stop trying to provide it. It has already been provided. Do you know that the Bible says the righteous is surrounded by favor? Have you seen it before in Scripture? What Scripture is that? Psalm what? Psalm what? You were at the prayer meeting. Okay. Psalm what? Can we read it, everybody? Let's turn to that. Psalm what? Five what? Can somebody read it for us? Microphone. If your voice can boom, if you have microphone, read it. No, we can't hear. Louder.
Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield.
He has surrounded the righteous with what? Favor as a what? Which means this thing is protecting you from unfavorable things. It's counteracting unfavorable things. So if you walk into an office, may you be surrounded with what? Favor. So if you know that and put your faith in what God has done, and you walk in there, you activate the favor. They'll be behaving like something pricked them behind. They'll be doing things that is unusual. Because this is the hand of God. It's called favor. It's what you don't... She got a job and went in there and told him, say, what you are paying me, I don't like it. I want more. And she gave them the figure. They said, we'll call you back. Because I told her. Right? I told her. She went in there and said, what you are paying me, I'm not happy with it. I need more. She told them what she wanted. And they said, we'll call you. They called her. And they gave, complete it for me. They gave you what you wanted. I said to her, I said, would I have been doing this job without fullness of joy? But the word of God, which you practiced, had brought you fullness of what? Joy. She called me, she was, hey, Pastor. I said, you got it. She said, yeah. I said, why shouldn't you get it now? It's in our God's seat. You would have walked in there with fear. I don't know if I tell them whether they will. Then they were not. Not. Are you following me? If I follow me, shout hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ the power of God guarantees this thing. He's the guarantor, he's the mediator, he's the power of God himself. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel being the power of God, Jesus being the power of God. We must put our faith in the cornerstone and what God has provided for us through the cornerstone. Now, if we read Jeremiah 17:5, which we read, you see that once we don't put our faith in the power of God, we don't walk in the blessings of God, period. There is no magic to this thing. If you don't put your faith in the power of God, you don't walk in the blessings of God. You can fast from now till that kingdom come. The word cannot be broken. Cannot change. God doesn't change. That's just the way it is. So in Jeremiah 17:5, which we read yesterday, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man. Cursed be the man that trusted in who? I'm of the flesh. So when you start looking for people, you think they're special to pray for you. You have a problem. Look, if you come for people to pray for you, it's scriptural. People should, we should pray for one. But in that prayer, our faith must not be in any human being there. Because there's no human being there that's a guarantor of the promise of God. None of them. None of them. They all sinners are saved by grace. All of them. It was it. Cause be the man that trusts in man. This is Bible. I didn't write it. If I'm praying for you, your trust is in me. You are trusting in man. You won't get anything. The Bible says you won't walk under the blessing of God. Because you trust in man. But if both of us are praying and our faith is in Christ Jesus, then we walk in the blessing. Look, this is easy to see how we can flip, how we trust it. Because people are lazy to go and study the Bible. So they want quick one. Oh yeah, come lay hands. So I do anointing quick. I don't have to study. I don't have to go to Bible studies. I don't have to study the Bible. Just do the quick anointing, everything, proper anointing. They're fooling themselves around. Look, there are two ways that God does things. He will do this by his anointing. But it's not every day. It's not every day. You can live 10 years without seeing the anointing of God do any particular thing in your life. It's not every day. Because he gave us what we need to live by every day. The just shall live by what? That's what he gave us. The anointing of the intervention, divine intervention, is as he wills, as he wants, and where he wants. Nobody tells him how. You may not see it in your life 10 years running. But what you see every day is what is provided already for you, which you assess by faith and take it anytime you want. Praise the Lord. If I gave you money to travel and you're waiting for me to come, you're wasting your time. Because I already provided you what you need. And mostly, listen to me. Mostly, when God wants to do these things by his anointing, it's on the unbelievers who don't know God. Mostly, it's on the heathens. They don't know nothing. Mostly. Go and check every crusade. It's mostly on people who don't know God. He will heal them. The land will be walked. Mostly. Because they don't know anything. They don't have anything. God loves them. God loves them passionately. They don't know God. They don't know anything. God loves them passionately. He doesn't want them to be lame. He heals them. But you that God has given much. Much is what? Expected. Why didn't we what God gave you now? Because if you do the same, you get the same miracle on your own. Didn't the Bible say we are for signs? That's why children of miracles, because the means of miracle is available to every Christian. Every Christian. You don't need me to walk in the miraculous of God. You don't need me. What you need to know is to know the truth. The source is Christ. Looking unto Christ, who is the author, finisher, is the source. Everything comes. He's the Alpha and Omega. Which you study, look unto him. He's the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. The knowledge of Christ gives you enlightenment and understanding, and your faith begins to grow. And then you can assess what he has guaranteed for you, that is all yours. All yours. Praise the Lord. So cursed is the man that trusted a man, maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. See, he doesn't trust the Lord. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heat in the desert. So it shall be like the heat. H-E-A-T-H. What is that? H-E-A-T-H in the desert. That's what they wrote here. H-E-A-T-H. You can't find it. H-E-A-T-H. Just look for it. For it shall be like a shrub in the desert. A shrub. That's the translation they gave me. New King James Version. King James said it shall be like a heat. H-E-A-T-H. It's not H-E-A-T. It's a shrub. You know how a shrub is? One small thing has no branch, has no strength, in one small corner. That's what it should be. Instead of being like a tree that is planted by the river, it's like a shrub. Shingongo. Wipong. I want to ask you, who among you, when you are passing by, do you notice shrub? Don't notice shrub. But what you notice is and the Bible says his branches is where the bears will perch. But shrub, even bears don't come to shrub unless there's a worm under there. When you want to build, do you go and gather shrubs? You look for a big tree. So it's a bit like a heat in the desert. And put King James, New King James Version. I can read it from here. New King James Version. If it's taking your time, I read the one I have. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. All these blessings, he won't see them. All this we are talking about as he provided, he won't see them. Because he doesn't want to study to know them. He won't see them. He won't see them. He's not interested. He's waiting for a man to come and do miracle. He won't see nothing. He won't see when good comes. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land. Brethren, do you know what salt land means? Unproductive. You can't get anything grow in a salt land. And when the Holy Spirit is describing something, that's exactly what it is. And then they shall have the places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Now it goes to the next verse. Talks about, blessed is the man now who trusts in the Lord. And the Lord is capital letter, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whose hope is in the Lord. Continue. Whose hope is where? In the Lord. For he shall be like a tree. The other one is shrub. This one is a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and shall not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Will not be anxious. He's not saying, oh, there's drought. You are not figuring out nothing. His strength is in the Lord. Drought or no drought, he's not concerned. Because he knows the source. He knows what God put in place. He said, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Drought or no drought. He will yield fruit. Why? Because his faith is in the Lord, the source of all things. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now let's study about Abraham. Abraham will teach us something. If you look at the life of Abraham, you will see that Abraham's life parallels the Christian today. It will be safe to say that Abraham's life is exactly how the Christian should live. Abraham received. Okay, I will explain it later. Listen to this. Number one is that Abraham lived under a limited grace. He lived under what? The reason it's a limited grace is because the sins of mankind has not been washed away. Remember that sin came with Adam, not Abraham. So Abraham came under the sin of Adam. Until sin, what Jesus came to bring the blood that washed away our sins, mankind that God dealt with was in a very limited way. That was why in the temple, his presence was shut out. He couldn't. He was dealing with them in a very limited way. So all that thing you saw the prophets do, that it was a very limited thing. That's why Jesus said that all these people, all the prophets, that John the Baptist is what? Greater than them, but the least in the kingdom is greater than both the John the Baptist and all of them. Because the least in the kingdom has come to embrace the fullness of divine grace, the fullness of divine power. Somebody shout hallelujah. The fullness of it. Because the blood has washed away our sins. And now our spirit is alive. Because God didn't find a place of residence in them. Didn't find a place of residence. He said, I will build my house. And when Christ came, God now created us a place of habitation for himself. They were not a place of habitation for God. None of them. All those prophets, Elijah, Abraham, Moses, none of them. Jesus said, the least in the kingdom is greater than all of them. Why? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And our sins are being washed away. So Abraham received a limited benefit of grace. You say, Pastor, how do you know he had a limited benefit of grace? Because there was no law. He had no law. There was no Ten Commandments. No single law was given to him on which his moral assessment would be based. None. Switch over to our dispensation. We are not under the law too. Am I right? Come on, church, talk to me. We're not under the law. Abraham had no law. The church has no law. We're not under the law. The Bible says we've been delivered from the law, and the law has come to an end, the screeching end. Abraham had no law. The believer has no law. So Abraham walked under grace, because there was no law to qualify him. You can say he has obeyed all the laws. How could he even have obeyed all the laws? He was born in sin also, like every other person. Are you following me? So God dealt with him in a limited grace. And we have fullness of grace. So all he did was simply believe God. So his righteousness was righteousness of faith. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for what? Today, what did the Bible say? The gospel reveals for us the righteousness of God, which is upon those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, Abraham and the Christian runs parallel. He mirrors the Christian life. Are you following me? Church, are you following me? Is this too much for you? Are you with me? So, the righteousness of Abraham was not from the law, because there was no law. His righteousness was righteousness of faith. And the Bible says, what did Abraham discover? Said Abraham found out that God will count you righteous if you believe his word. So when God said, Abraham believed me 100%, what he was referring to was that the righteousness that God attributed to him because he believed God's word. Praise the Lord. And then I want to show you other things about Abraham. Abraham brought his son and was ready to sacrifice his son. Shift to our own. God brought his own son and sacrificed. See that Abraham mirrored the New Testament. Right? He had a priest called what? Melchizedek. The Bible says to us that Melchizedek has no beginning and no end. I want to tell you something now. This is not from God. This is me. Personally, I believe that Melchizedek is a type of Christ. It's a type of Christ. I don't want to go that far. Because we saw that in the Old Testament, the Bible said the rock that they struck was Christ. Am I right? Come on now. The rock that brought water. That rock was what? Christ. So we saw that in the Old Testament, we saw Christ being revealed in function. He was revealed as rock that will bring water. Where he came, he says, this water is where? It's here. If you thirst, come and drink. So in the wilderness, he brought out water. The Bible said, for that rock was Christ. Then I believe personally that in Melchizedek is also a type of Christ, showing us the priesthood of Jesus Christ without father, without mother, without beginning of days. That's what the Bible said about him. Without beginning of days or end of days. Couldn't be a human being that had no beginning of days. So I'm saying to myself, this is the type of Jesus that are showing us the priest that will come. Just like they used rock to show the rock that was coming. So they used this to show us the high priest that was also coming. That's why the church must pay tithe. Because Abraham mirrors the life of the church. So when Abraham paid tithe to him, the life of the church mirrors it all the way down to paying tithe also to our high priest. And the Bible said, Abraham was the one that had the promise. And he paid tithe so that the higher will bless what? The lesser. And brethren, you know that in the eyes of God, God is no respecter. So when God describes this person as higher, he must be something else than Abraham. But he said, this man has the promise already. Yes, he has it. But he paid his tithe. And then this man blessed him. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. One day I'll take time and teach you on tithe from Old Testament to what Jesus said from the New Testament and how the Holy Spirit told us about tithe from the Old Testament to the priesthood of Melchizedek to even the church. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And then finally, you know that it is the same covenant that we enjoy. The promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Is there another promise you enjoy? Is it not the same promise that was made to Abraham and his seed that we enjoy? You will see that the church is patterned after them. And then the Holy Spirit put Abraham smack in the new gospel, in the gospel, and said, look at this man and see how his faith works. He said, watch how his faith works. He said, it was written for you to learn from him the life of faith, because that's what God wants us to live. Exactly how he lived his life. So if I'm supposed to learn to walk by faith the way he did, then I'm supposed to do whatever he did by faith, including tithe. The whole work of faith. It was put there for us. And the Holy Spirit wrote it. He said, this was written for your own example. If it was put there for our own example, you can't choose what to do. You got to follow his life of faith. Faith is action. Faith is action. If it was wrong for him to pay tithe, the Holy Spirit wouldn't put him there and say, follow his faith, life of faith. And you see the whole New Testament, the Holy Spirit was bringing Abraham again and again and showing the church, look at Abraham again and again, look at Abraham again and again. If I used him to illustrate our new life completely. So Abraham fits into this thing that we are talking about. So let's see what the Spirit of God talks about the life of Abraham and how he received the promise of God. Remember, I said, what we receive from God is his what? It says what? It says what? So if you want to receive something, you've got to find the promise. Because that's what you're receiving. If you want to receive something, you've got to find what? The promise, because that's what you are receiving. Find the promise about healing. Promise about this. Promise, because that's what you are receiving. Now, you don't know the promise. You don't even care to find it. What are you receiving? Then your faith is not going to be on what Christ did. It's going to be on something else. Because you don't trust the promise. Now, Galatians 4:21. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. Okay. So Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you not know what the law actually says? The scripture says that Abraham had two sons. What are the names of his sons? Isaac and what? Ishmael. He had two sons. One from the slave wife and one from the free wife. One from what? Slave wife. One from what? Why was the other one a slave wife? Because she was a slave. She was brought as a slave to be a house girl for Sarah. Okay? Now, verse 23. Watch what the Holy Spirit is teaching the church here. Listen. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. See, the law enslaved them. He didn't give them freedom. But Christ came and gave us freedom. The law enslaved them, verse 25. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. 26. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, like the church is free. And she is our mother. As Isaiah said, rejoice, O childless woman, you who have never been given birth, break into a joyful shout. You who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman, that is the barren woman, now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise. Just like Isaac, 29. But you are now being persecuted by those who want you to keep the law. And it's still happening today. Just as Ishmael, the child born of human effort, persecuted Isaac. The child born by the power of the Spirit. The child born by the power of the Spirit. The child born by what? The power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son. For the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, we are children of the free woman. Now, the story of Abraham, let me break it down so you will understand it. I know you read this place, some of you don't understand it. Very, very interesting. Very, very, very easy to understand now. The story of Abraham, brethren, listen to me, illustrates for us the New Testament. It shows us the impossibility of a man to produce fruit on his own. Just like it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to produce fruit it is impossible for the flesh to produce the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. Impossible. Get it in your head. Just as it was impossible for a 100-year-old man and a 100-year-old woman to produce what? Life. To produce what? Life. To produce Isaac. So it is impossible for you and I to produce life. To produce the work of God. To produce the life of God. To produce the fruit of the Spirit. To produce onion. Impossible. The only way they could produce life was through the promise of God. The only way was through the promise of God. Because God said to them, he said, by this time I shall come. And Sarah will what? Now listen. Now, Abraham and Sarah did what many people do today. Once they don't see anything, they get anxious. They start planning. Now they planned and brought in, what's the name of this girl? Hagar. And Abraham was very excited when they made the proposition to him. He was so happy. He said to Sarah, you are just one of the wisest women I've seen. No, he didn't say that. Okay, so they connived and had a baby. What's the name of the baby? Listen to this. The Bible said that Ishmael represents anybody who is trying to produce the promise of God by human connivance. That what he produces is slavery, not freedom. And then we do a lot of things because we wait, we don't see. We don't see. We say, no. God must move from you. Then we start. I'm producing Ishmael. And the Bible said that that child that was produced by Abraham and Hagar, he says he will never inherit the blessing of God. Never. He said, cast her out. Cast the woman out. Cast the baby out. They will never. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. But by my what? Spirit. See, this is not a product of the promise of God. He said, but you are children of promise. But this one is not from promise. This is from human wisdom. The flesh will profit what? All that people are doing, not based on the promise. You see why the promise is central? You must fish out the promise because that's what will produce your Isaac for you. You must get the promise. You must depend on the promise. You must rely on the promise. You must rely on the guarantor of the promise. If you don't, you will be producing Ishmael every single time and you will never smell the blessings of the promise. Never. If you are following me, say amen. And they say that Isaac now, the inheritor of the promise, was the one that came by God fulfilling his promise. The arm of the Lord produced Isaac by fulfilling his promise. And then look at what the scripture said. It says, say, look at the barren woman. Who was the barren woman? Sarah. Say, she now has more children than the one that has a husband. But that's true. Because the children of Sarah, they're like the star of heaven. How about the children of Hagar? What are they? He said, now rejoice, O barren woman. Because you don't have anything to produce this thing. You rely entirely on what God has promised you and what God has done. He said, the thing came in abundance. Abundantly above all you can think or. Am I clear? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. Deuteronomy 4:23. take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Forget the promises of God, which he has made with you, and make yourself a graven image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you to do. So take heed. Don't forget the promises of God. Don't forget the covenant of God. If you do, you are going to produce another God that we think will produce for you the blessings of God, like Abraham and Hagar forgot the promise that God made, and they wanted to produce the promise of God, and they produced slavery and curse. If you get what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. Now, I don't even know how much time is remaining for. Can I have the time back? Okay, good. Colossians 2:8 says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They say to you, this is the way we do it now. It's your own different. After I'm a Christian too. He said, don't let any man spoil you after the traditions of what? Men. Don't follow them. Don't follow them. I'm warning you now. Don't follow them. Praise the Lord. Don't what? Follow them. Depend on what the promise of God. His promise is yea and amen. Then in Mark chapter 7 verse 13. Say, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things that you do. We have a lot of rituals and tradition that's not from God. It's not from the promise of God. I keep emphasizing this thing. The promise of God, the promise of God, the promise of God. If you neglect it and set it aside, you are going to produce another idol. You are going to do this by your wisdom. You are going to do this by human tradition. You are going to do this by what you think. Romans 4:16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. If you have it in your Bible, get New Living Translation. That's what I'm reading. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. No, sorry. 4:16. So the promise, everybody say the promise. Say it louder, the promise. I want to hear you shout it, the promise. Shout it louder, the promise. Is received. You see, what you receive is the promise. What you receive is what? The promise. The promise is received. Remember, we said Abraham mimics the life of the Christian today. No, this is not coming. The promise. Everybody said the promise. All things that pertain to life and godliness is covered by what? Promise. It comes through the promise. Abraham received Isaac because Isaac was a product of the promise. Abraham mimics the church. So the church receives as a result of the what? The promise. And he said, even you are children of the promise. Now, the promise. Everybody say again, the promise. If I want to receive this, the promise, and I don't care about it, what do you think I will receive? Huh? Zero. Nothing. I've said it here over and over and over until the Lord began to tell somebody, he said, this is your pastor. They are not listening to it. They are not understanding. I've shouted it. I said, if you want to pray, find the promise. That's what you are going to receive. The promise is what you are going to receive. Church, I can't say it enough. The promise is what we receive. Say it with me. The promise is what we receive. Abraham received the promise. He received Isaac, a result of the promise. Because that's what the arm of the Lord is doing. So the promise is here. He promises it. So if I want to receive it, I go and find what I want. See? Because that's what I receive. Can I hear amen? Church, I can't say it more. What you are receiving is the promise. Already fulfilled in Christ. If you keep it aside, you go and produce Ishmael, which was not promised to you. And you think it's the promise. It will look like the promise, but it will bring you trouble. You wish you didn't do that with time. Because the arm of the flesh will always what? Fail. But this is what the arm of your flesh and your religious mind and your traditional friends and all that unbelieving believers know little or nothing about the promise and Christ. They just rely on this. Somebody say, this will take only three night vigils. That's what only 3 night vigils, that's what it will take. No, it took Christ on the cross. Can I hear MM Church? So let's now read that place. Sorry. Is this yours? Okay, thank you. Did you get what I'm saying you? Let's now read this place now. So if I want to receive anything, what should I look for first? The promise. Because that's what I'm receiving. The promise fulfilled, that's what I'm receiving. Now let's read it now. Romans 4:16. So the promise is received by faith. So the what? The promise. Come on, church. So the what? The promise. So what do we receive? The promise is received by what? Faith. By faith. Why? Because that's what God says, not by might, not by my power, but by power, but by my spirit. I have established this cornerstone for you. The branch, those that trust in him shall not be put to shame. And everything you need, find in him. Find it in him. He's coming with all the blessings of heaven. All the blessings, all of it. My hand has done it. You can't do it. Don't try. Just go take it. Is the promise fulfilled? So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it. Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like who? Abraham. You see, Abraham is being used to teach the church how to live as a Christian. His life of faith is what you do, you copy. In fact, everywhere the Bible is pointing to Abraham, he said, you follow the faith. Okay, we'll read it some more. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Why is Abraham the father of all who believe? Because he's our example. They say like father. What they're saying is, that's your example. We're called the sons of Abraham. Because our life follows his pattern. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. Is that a promise? Promise? Fulfilled. He didn't say, I'm going to make you. He said, I have what? Made you. This happened. Why did it happen? Why did this promise happen? This happened because Abraham simply believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of a nothing, simply because he trusted in the arm of the Lord and his promise. He said, that's why it happened. That's not the reason it happened. Now, verse 20, Romans 4, verse 20. Are you following me at all? Is it making sense? Is it helping anybody here? Let me give you an assurance. If you follow this thing, 4 weeks, you stop me and say, Pastor, what have I been doing? A lot of things we want to produce it like Ishmael because it makes sense to your brain and makes sense to your so-called believers who know nothing, totally ignorant of the Bible. It makes sense. But you produce Ishmael. He said that son and the mother, drive them out. They will never partake in the blessings of God. He said, drive them out. You don't want to bring something that God said, take this righteousness away. It is filthy rag. Get out. What are we reading? Romans 4:20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. He never. Remember when he wavered? He produced Ishmael. That's why the Bible said, don't forget the covenant of your God. If you do, you are going to worship idol. You are going to produce idol. Think this is the thing that will give me this. You will produce another God in form of what you people connive and do. Some of them secretly, nobody knows. They don't forget it. So when Abraham forgot what God promised him, he went into trouble. Did you remember that? That's not the only time. When God said to him, go to the land where I will what? On the way, he figured, he said, there's a better place to go to. Where did he go to? When he got there, did he get the blessing? He nearly lost his wife. Every single time, church, every single time, he shifted from that faith in God to all this connivance of brain, he produces Ishmael. Every single time. And that doesn't bless him. And when his son wanted to repeat the father's mistake, God warned him, he said, don't do that. Because there was famine. The son said, I'm going to a better place. God said, don't go there. This is the land of promise. This is where I promised your father. This is where all your blessings are. Stay here. Don't go anywhere. Whether you see it or not. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my... Stay on the promised land. Stay on the promise in Christ. Don't go to anywhere. They will tell you, go to here, go to there. Don't listen to them. Stay there. And the boy stayed there and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied in spite of the drought. And the Philistines began to envy him. Why? He said, the man that trusts in the Lord shall be like a tree. He will bring forth fruits all the time. Brethren, it's easy. You will multiply if you are deep. Look, in everything you do, your life, Christian life will produce that your children want to worship Jesus. They will see it now. One of my children followed me outside. He said, Daddy, he said, I've seen the blessings of God in your life. He said, I've seen it. He said, I've seen, Daddy, I've seen it. It's real. He followed me outside. He said, Daddy, I'm telling you, I've seen it. It's real. My wife called me the other day. He said, I don't know how you do your own. He said, I don't understand you. I said, well, we're here. What do I do? Well, I do nothing. I won't tell you details because it's bedroom talk. You know, bedroom talk is not for public. I love my wife too much. I will never, never try by the grace of God to dishonor her. Not in public. It won't happen by God's grace because that's not the way we live. Amen? If you dishonor your wife, you are undressing her in public. That's shameful. You should dress up your wife in public because God dressed you with robe of righteousness. Dress up your wife. Say good things about her. Say good things about her. Amen. And then you dress up one another too. Don't naked your brother or sister. Don't go and be removing his clothes. Thinking, see what they do. That is nonsense. Dress her up. Leave the judgment with God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Romans 4:20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. You see the word promise again? You see the word promise again? See the word promise again? Whatever he promises. Verse 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as what? You see where his righteousness came? Because there was no law. It just came by his faith. The same thing the gospel is revealing to us, the righteousness of God upon those who believe in Christ Jesus, upon everybody who believes. See, because of that, so he's enjoying the same righteousness that we're enjoying. Verse 23. And when God counted him as righteous, it was not just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. Somebody say amen. So you see, you are being accepted by God is because Jesus died and was raised, not because of anything. That's God said, I'm putting in place this thing. It's not by power. It's not by might. I'm the one instituting this thing for your benefit. 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 I said, for your benefit. So if you want to go to God, you're not going there because of who you are. You are going there because of what God promised you. Those who believe in him, they will receive righteousness. They'll be accepted. Righteousness is to be have right standing, to be accepted, to come. Amen? Now, see, because Jesus is the guarantor of this, I want to read a few scriptures and then I will end with showing you how the promise of God cannot be broken. You can't rely on it in anything. Cannot be broken. Philippians 4:13. We can quote that off it. I can do all things through who? So if I remove Christ, can I do anything? No. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:5. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I want us to read 1 John 4:9 together. I don't have the clock anymore. 1 John 4:5. 4:9. Let's read it together. Everybody. So live through him. To have life through him. It's through him. If you remove him, it's like Abraham and Sarah trying to produce a baby. No. It's through the promise given to us in Christ that life comes. It's through him. In fact, the Bible says we offer praises through him. We offer praises through him. So Jesus is the mediator of all these promises, guarantees it for us that if we trust in him, these promises are ours. Now, in conclusion, I want us to read Hebrews 6:13. You will see that Abraham is plastered all over the New Testament as an example for the church to follow. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, he's still talking about Abraham and this promise. He's still talking about this promise to Abraham. The same promise he made to you. For when God made a promise to Abraham, so when God made a promise to you, tap your neighbor and say, when God made a promise to you, go ahead. Say it one more time. Say it one more time. I want it to sink. So when God made a promise to Abraham, or you can remove Abraham. Now remove Abraham and put yourself, your name. All right, let's go. Say it one more time. When God made a promise to me. Because he says the same way he made to Abraham, he made to, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. So the Bible is saying that promise God made you is both an oath and a promise. It's not just a promise. It's an oath that cannot be broken. It's not just a promise, but an oath also. He says, so when God made a promise to Brano, somebody, he's raising his hand. He said, what about me? Okay. When God made a promise to, okay, you too. I made a promise to God. I made a promise to you. I made a promise to my brother there. I made a promise to you. Chinedu, when God made a promise to you, who else? When God made a promise to you, my daughter, when God made a promise to you, when God made a promise to you that in healing, I'll heal you. In blessing, I'll bless you. In deliverance is yours. All that I have is yours. When God made the promise to you that, look, your sins, I will remember no more. I will forgive you. When God made the promise to you that in Christ I'll give you eternal life. When God made the promise to you that those that trust in me will never be put to shame. When God made that promise and said, you are no more on their course. I've taken your course away. That now I've brought you the blessings of Abraham. When God made that promise to you, when God made that promise to you, that promise he made was his oath. It wasn't just a promise. It's his oath to you. God swore to you. By that promise, it was an oath also. It's too much to believe, but that's true. That God will come to swear to me. And why did God do that? It's to assure me that this promise, it cannot be broken. So that I can anchor my confidence in him no matter what the wind says. To assure me. So that I don't run off like Abraham ran off with Hagar and start producing this. No, no. But I stay strong like he stayed finally with Sarah, trusting. And then produce the promise. So let's finish reading it. Verse 14. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And verse 15. And so, after he had patiently, after he had what? Patiently endured, what did he obtain? What did he obtain? What are you going to obtain? The promise. You see why we miss it? We don't know that what we will obtain is the promise. So we neglect the promise. We don't. Abraham knew the promise that this is what God said to me. He knew it. This is what God said to me. But when you go with a blank mind, there's no promise, but it's the promise that the Bible says you receive by faith. That you are going to obtain the you blank mind, you don't have it, you don't care about it. You think it's how much you pray, you think it's how much you fast, you think it's how good you are, you think it's all that, you think it's the whole church pray for me. I know people, churches pray for, they still didn't make it. I know people who sent out prayer requests, all the churches, they still didn't make it. Prayer is not answered by number. I've told you the truth of the matter. I've said this to here. To you people here, if you want to pray about something important to you, the less the people, the better for you. Because then you can achieve one accord easily. Because you say, Mike said, we pray for him. Some people say, they say, make we pray. Okay, let's pray. Their mind is not there. So why do I need you? Your mind is not there. I need those whose mind will be, yeah. Because we see God with all our heart. And you can't find many people who will be so concerned about you to pray that way. You can't find them. Not even some of your friends. I keep telling people this thing. Stop sharing all these prayer requests all over the place. Some people will take it and gossip about you. Pray your closet with your wife. See God alone. It's not by number. God does not save by numbers. Can I hear amen? God said, I'm looking for a man. Just a man who will stand in the gap. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a crowd. I'm not looking for a crowd. If you believe him, all things are possible. Once you can believe and say, this promise was made to me. Lord, this is what you promised me. And in Christ Jesus, it has been fulfilled. I lay hold on this. The Bible says, lay hold on that eternal life which was given to you. Lay hold, grab it with your hand and say, this is who I am. I'm not what I used to be. I lay hold on eternal life. He said he's been given. Lay hold on it. Grab it. It's yours. You lay hold on whatever God has given to you because his power has made it available. He says to you, this promise can be now be received by faith. Yes, Lord, it's mine. I lay hold on it and I hold it. And the Bible said we must hold fast to that which we have received. Because there's a thief who wants to prime your hand open and make you drop it. He comes and causes storm all over the place. Oh, no, 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 no. Like Abraham said, I'm not looking at those things. I know in whom I believe. His promises are yea And I have it, you can't take it from me. I'm not even concerned about these things you're doing. I got it. I got it, devil. You want to hear the story? I got it. So instead of calling friends, you worship like Abraham. You give thanks every day. You give thanks. Why? It's not by power. It's not by might. His hand has provided it. His hand gave it to you. An act of grace. Did you know how much God empowered us? Our words can change things. Your word can change things. That's why the Bible says this thing can produce life. Or what? It says produce life. Speak what I told you. Speak those promises. Let the redeemed say so. Say what I said. Say what I said. Don't say what the devil is saying. Because if you say what the devil is saying, you have received his works and rejected my work. And so we go and be saying what the devil said, and we expect wonders to happen. It doesn't work that way. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. You have rejected the word of God. You're taking the word of the devil. Then repeating it every time, everywhere. Every time, everywhere. 15. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. Verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Immutability of his counsel. Heirs of promise. Heirs of what? Promise. Heirs of what? What does it mean to be heir of promise? That's what you are inheriting. That's what I've been saying. What you are inheriting is a promise. But you don't care about it. It's like I bought you a shirt. You don't even know what. You don't care about it. You won't go for it now. We're heirs of the promise. So what I'm receiving from God every single time is what? The promise. Heirs of the promise. So if I know I'm a heir of the promise, shouldn't I know what promise that I'm after? Church, I'm asking you. So if I'm praying, shouldn't I know what promise I'm talking to God about? No, supposing I don't care about it, my mind will be beating all over the place. And the devil will hit me here, hit me, because I don't have an anchor to hold my soul. Nothing. Am I making sense? So, it says, verse 17. I want us to read 17 together. I want to, in your Bible, let's go. Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to heirs of promise, the what? What is immutability? Unchangeable. Immutability of his counsel, that's promise, confirmed it by an oath, 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong what? Strong what? Why do I need consolation? Because I've not seen it, but I know it's real. I know it's true. I know it's fulfilled. But I have not seen it, but I'm not going to look for Hagar. I don't need any Hagar. All the people coming to advise me, we have a Hagar for you. I say, my friend, go and sit down. This thing has been, I don't need any Hagar. Are you getting my point? I don't need no Hagar, because they will come and tell you, we have solution. We have Hagar for you. Ah, it's easy now. It's flesh. Flesh is pleasurable. You say, no. No. The promise is immutable. Can't change. Can't change. Can't change. So, it says, we might have strong, not small consolation, strong consolation. I want us to shout it, strong consolation. Strong consolation. Church, shout it loud. Shout it louder for me. Come on. Strong consolation. In the midst of drought, you don't have to figure nothing out no more. The promise is fulfilled. You have strong consolation. And they are wondering. I say, what's wrong with you? He said, nothing is wrong with me. I don't need your head. I have strong consolation. The arm of the Lord has already provided it. It's not by power. Are you inviting me to show my power? Show my might? No. He has provided the cornerstone. Those that trust in him will never be put to shame. I have found my promise. And I have laid hold on it. It's mine now. And I have strong consolation. Praise the Lord. It says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Yeah. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Both sure and what? Steadfast. Both sure and what? Steadfast. Brethren, when God said to Abraham, I have made you, that thing happened. But Abraham didn't see it. But it was real. So Abraham began to give what? Thanks. Every day he gave what? Thanks. Every day he gave what? Thanks. Every day he gave what? And the devil said, you are wasting your time. Did you notice your body is dead? Did you notice your wife is dead? Abraham, you lost your mind. You cannot produce this thing. The man said, sure, I cannot. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not trying. I've ceased from my labor. I cannot. I know. But I trust in him who made the promise. It's not my body. It's not my wife's body. So why am I looking at it? No, the Bible says he believed in him. He's able to do what he said. He said, no, it's not me. Yeah, devil, you're right. I can't. So I'm not trying. How can I try? Try? Can't try. No. It's him. It's him. It's what? The arm that knows no impossibility. And a promise that cannot change. An oath from God of heaven, personally to. Come on, what are you talking about? The Bible says we have run to refuge. And that expectation hooks us between us. Come. That expectation. That expectation. Expectation, that hope, that faith that is in Christ. Said it goes into where God is. It's like a chain that holds. My, come. It's like a chain that holds him there. It's like a chain that goes right where Christ is, who has entered there for us. So this thing hooks onto Jesus and hooks onto God. Break it, let me see. Try. Try now. He said, we have run for refuge. Yeah. We don't have issues. We run for refuge. He said, this expectation we have has passed from us to Christ, and Christ has held it as guarantor. I guarantee it in the presence of God. And God says, amen. So it can't change. It has only one option. It must come to pass. Period. Case closed. It must come to pass. No. It has only one option. There's nothing else you can do about it. There is nothing else you can do about it. We run for refuge, not to men. We don't run to men. We don't run to men. We run to that promise that gives us that expectation. Because that promise is connected to our chief high priest who has entered the presence of God on my behalf. And then he guarantees it. He mediates it. He holds it himself in the presence of God Almighty. And the Bible says, because of that, we can have strong consolation. Strong consolation. It is immutable. Can't change. It is yea. But if you run for refuge to men, to rituals, to money, to yourself, you are standing on sinking sand and you will sink. Because it is his promise that you are receiving. And that promise gives you the expectation.